Section 4, Lesson 3, Budget and Financial Affairs, Assessments and Collection Overview. Let's dive into the world of assessments and collections within community associations, which is a crucial aspect of maintaining the financial health of these organizations. The funding for the budget comes from assessing each unit owner, parcel owner, or shareholder. The association's board, along with the governing documents, sets the due dates for these assessments and outlines what happens if payments are late. When you receive an assessment notice, it will detail the amount you owe, the due dates, and any penalties or late fees that may apply if you miss those deadlines. It's important to note that the responsibility for paying these assessments falls squarely on the shoulders of the unit owners, shareholders, or parcel owners. Moreover, the property or share you own acts as security for these payments, meaning that even if ownership changes hands in the future, the obligation to pay remains. Importantly, you cannot avoid this liability simply by waiving your right to use the property. Now, let's talk about how these assessments are calculated. Before determining the total amount needed from assessments, the board will first deduct any other income it has received, such as interest or rental fees, as well as any surplus from the previous year. The common expenses are then allocated based on the ownership percentages of the common areas, which were established by the developer and found in the documents of the association. That would be the declaration for condominiums and homeowners associations and the proprietary else for cooperatives. For condominium and cooperative associations, assessments are typically collected at least quarterly, while homeowners associations may have different schedules as outlined in their governing documents. Timeshare and vacation plans usually collect assessments on an annual basis, and it's important to remember that these assessments are collected in advance. If you find yourself in a situation where you're behind on payments, any money you do pay will first go toward interest, then late fees, collection costs, and finally, the past due assessment itself. The community association does have some flexibility. They can negotiate to collect past due assessments and may even waive late fees or interest, but they cannot reduce the actual assessment amount owed unless all other owners receive the same reduction. Now, let's touch on special assessments. The board typically has the authority to adopt these, and usually a majority vote of those present at a valid meeting is required to do so. Special assessments are often necessary when operating expenses exceed the budget or when there are deferred maintenance or capital expenditures that surpass available reserves. Just like regular assessments, these special assessments are allocated among the members according to each member's ownership percentage. For condominium and cooperative associations, any funds collected from a special assessment must be used solely for the purpose stated. If there are any excess funds left after the project is completed, those are considered common surplus. In homeowners associations, however, the developer-controlled board cannot levy a special assessment without the approval of a majority of parcel owners other than the developer. Moving on to acceleration, late fees, and interest, these are important aspects to understand. The board has the right to accelerate payments, but this must be clearly stated in the governing documents. If you're late on your payments, the association can charge a late fee, which must also be authorized in the bylaws or declaration. This late fee can be either $25 or 5% of the delinquent installment, whichever is greater. Additionally, interest may be charged on past due assessments, and if the governing documents don't specify a rate, it cannot exceed 18% per annum. When it comes to invoices for assessments, these must be delivered to the parcel owner either by first-class mail or electronically, depending on what's maintained in the association's records. If the association decides to change the delivery method, they must notify each parcel owner in writing at least 30 days in advance. This notice must be sent to the owner's last known address, and it's considered delivered once it's mailed. If a unit owner falls behind on their assessments, the association cannot require payment of attorney fees related to that past due amount without first sending a written notice of late assessment. This notice must specify the amount owed and give the owner a chance to pay without incurring attorney fees, with a deadline of 30 days to settle the amount. The notice must be sent via first-class mail to the owner's last known address and, if applicable, to the unit address as well. Before the association can record a lien against a unit, they must send a notice of intent to file a lien, which must be mailed to the owner by registered or certified mail, as well as first-class mail. This notice gives the owner 45 days to address the outstanding amount before any lien is recorded. When it comes to the assessment lien itself, this is recorded with the clerk of the circuit court. A proper claim of lien must include the name of the owner, a legal description of the property, the association's name and address, the assessment amount due, and due dates. It must also be signed by an officer or agent of the association. In terms of legal requirements, the claim of lien secures all unpaid assessments and any that may accrue after the lien is recorded, including interest and reasonable costs incurred during the collection process. In cooperatives, the lien secures unpaid rents and assessments, plus interest and any authorized late fees. The lien is effective for 1 year from the date of recording, but this period can be extended if the association is prevented from filing a foreclosure action due to a bankruptcy petition. If a unit owner contests the lien, they can require the association to enforce it within 90 days. If a member is delinquent for more than 90 days, the association may suspend their rights to use common areas and facilities until the debt is settled. However, the suspension does not apply to limited common elements or utility services. Additionally, the association can suspend voting rights for non-payment of any monetary obligation that is more than 90 days overdue. In cases where a unit is occupied by a tenant and the owner is delinquent, the association can demand that the tenant pay their rent directly to the association until the owner's obligations are fulfilled. The tenant must be notified of this demand, and they are protected from claims by the owner as long as they act in good faith. For vacation and timeshare plans, the claim of lien remains effective until paid or for 5 years. This includes all amounts secured by the lien, such as past due assessments and any associated costs. The managing entity has the authority to foreclose on the lien or recover a money judgment for unpaid assessments without waiving the lien. Now, let's discuss the Certificate of Assessment, also known as an Estoppel Certificate. This document outlines the status of an owner regarding their assessments. The association must issue this certificate within 10 business days of receiving a request. It can be delivered by hand, regular mail or email, and it must include specific information about the owner, the unit, and any outstanding assessments. If there are any mistakes or additional information that comes to light within the effective period of the certificate, an amended certificate can be issued without any additional charge. Importantly, if someone relies on the estoppel certificate in good faith, the association cannot later collect more than what is specified in that certificate. Finally, let's touch on financial reports and statements. Community associations are required to prepare and make available financial information at the end of each fiscal year. This can be done using either cash accounting or accrual accounting methods. For associations with less than $150,000 in annual revenue, a simple report of cash receipts and expenditures is sufficient. However, those with $150,000 or more must provide formal financial statements prepared according to generally accepted accounting principles. In summary, understanding the ins and outs of assessments, collections, and financial reporting is essential for anyone involved in community associations. It ensures that everyone is on the same page and helps maintain the financial integrity of the community. Let's see how you progressed in Section 4 to Lesson 3 with these questions. 1. What is the primary source of funding for a community association's budget? A. Donations from members. B. Assessments of unit owners, parcel owners, or shareholders. C. Government grants. D. Fundraising events. The correct answer is B. The primary source of funding for a community association's budget assessments of unit owners, parcel owners, or shareholders. 2. How often must assessments be collected in condominium and cooperative associations? A. Annually. B. Monthly. C. Biannually. D. At least quarterly. The correct answer is D. Assessments must be collected in condominium and cooperative associations at least quarterly. 3. What document outlines the assessment amount, due dates, and penalties for late payments? A. Financial statement. B. Meeting minutes. C. Assessment notice. D. Budget report. The correct answer is C. The assessment notice outlines the assessment amount, due dates, and penalties for late payments. 4. Who is ultimately responsible for the payment of assessments? A. The association board. B. The property manager. C. The unit owner, shareholder, or parcel owner. D. The tenants. The correct answer is C. The unit owner, shareholder, or parcel owner is ultimately responsible for the payment of assessments. 5. When calculating assessments, what is deducted first? A. Previous year's expenses. B. Other income received by the board. C. Future expenses. D. Owner contributions. The correct answer is B. When calculating assessments, other income received by the board is deducted first. 6. What is the maximum interest rate that can be charged on past due assessments if the governing documents do not specify? A. 10% per annum. B. 18% per annum. C. 20% per annum. D. 15% per annum. The correct answer is D. 18% per annum is the maximum interest rate that can be charged on past due assessments if the governing documents do not specify. 7. How long does a unit owner have to pay the amount specified in a notice of late assessment before attorney fees can be charged? A. 15 days. B. 45 days. C. 30 days. D. 60 days. The correct answer is C. A unit owner has 30 days to pay the amount specified in a notice of late assessment before attorney fees can be charged. 8. What must be included in a proper claim of lien? A. The assessment amount due. B. The owner's phone number. C. The owner's employment status. D. The owner's previous addresses. The correct answer is A. The assessment amount due must be included in a proper claim of lien. 9. If a member is delinquent for more than 90 days, the association can suspend A. Voting rights only, B. Use rights to common areas and facilities, C. Access to financial reports, D. Rights to attend meetings. The correct answer is B. If a member is delinquent for more than 90 days, the association can suspend use rights to common areas and facilities. 10. What is the effective period for an estoppel certificate delivered by hand or electronically? A. 30 days. B. 20 days. C. 35 days. D. 45 days. The correct answer is A. The effective period for an estoppel certificate delivered by hand or electronically is 30 days. How do you feel about your performance on the quiz for Section 4, Lesson 3 of Budget and Financial Affairs? You can find the relevant content for this lesson in your student manual, specifically on pages 130 to 154.